2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll be reading verse 17, a familiar verse to many of us. It is Valentine's Day, and so some have wondered about the tradition of Cupid, and have asked themselves what is so romantic about a short, fat toddler in diapers coming at you with a weapon in his hand. It really takes the romantic side of Valentine's Day right away when you see something like that. And there was a husband who was not connecting the romantic dots in his life as much as his wife tried to persuade him and help him. He wasn't getting it. Surprise. And so she did a real wise thing, and that's lined up for them a time for a session with a lady counselor. And so the lady counselor wasn't getting anywhere either. She tried and tried and tried and tried. The wife was trying. The husband wasn't getting it. So finally, the lady counselor frustratingly just got up and walked over to the man's wife and gave her a big hug, looked at the man and said, "That is what needs to happen every day of her life." The man said, "Ah." She said, "Got it?" He said, "Yes, thank you, I got it." The wife said, "Thank you so much." The husband's paying her the money there for the visit. And before he left, he looked back at the counselor and said, "So what time tomorrow do I bring her back here for you to give her that hug?" So, we try. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This verse says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things are become new. I'd like to speak this evening on the topic, "In Christ I have found new life." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the many truths that it has for us. We thank you so much, Lord, that our life has been made new by you, Lord, in this world and the corruption and the decay that's all around, Lord, to have the promise, Lord, and really the immediate deliverance of this truth in our life, new life. Lord, it's so encouraging to and hopeful for us to live like this. Pray you encourage many hearts here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everyone loves things that are new. Even the car washes will sell you a new car smell if you want that as the smell. I don't know how popular that is, but there is the new car smell. And if you've smelled it before, it's something. The dealerships want to get you sitting in the new car. They want you to sit there and to feel the new steering wheel. It doesn't have any Mountain Dew on it from Speedway when you're trying to drive and drink, or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever, you know. Well, maybe you don't know, but that happens sometimes. The cup holders have nothing in them. They haven't been on one candy sale trip. How about that? You know, that's wow, what would that be like? The new car, if they can get you in there and convince you, wow, this is new. There's no problems with anything that's new. Just think how good this will make you feel. You deserve this. You fit in that car. And on goes the new car salesman. And then before long, if they're good and you're gullible, or if you have the money, you're in a new car. And for a while, man, does it feel different from what you were driving. Used cars are a little trickier, particularly used cars that you purchase through Craigslist. Usually this is not as much a pleasure purchase as a I have to have something to drive to work tomorrow purchase. So we can get a little less picky. We have to be a little less picky with used cars, but we can't be too unpicky. We can't just buy the first thing. A few years back, I was out for a used car, and of course, I asked Mr. Stockman to go with me. And I don't know what it is about Craigslist and used cars, but it seems like every used car in Craigslist has an address in Chicago on Cicero Avenue. Cicero. I mean, what is it? Every used car in Chicago just lines up on Cicero? That's what it seemed like, so we go to Cicero. And we're driving, getting our plan for what we're going to do, and we looked at the car and kind of knew about what it would be. And so we get there, and we're greeted by this the potential salesman, and we pop the hood open. First thing he did, Mr. Stockman, popped that hood open. He said, just watch. I want to look at the hood before we do anything. We open it up, and the engine and all around the edges of the hood and around the windshield is all these dead, dry leaves. And Mr. Stockman kind of looks at the guy that's trying to sell us the car and is like, you know, what's this? I think the guy knew right about then that there wasn't going to be a sale. I forget what he said, but it was something like, no habla inglés. Not sure, but I think it was something like that. But the plus was this. The thing about going for a used car in Chicago, it's never a complete dry run. It's never a failure because all roads in Chicago lead to Riccobini's. So we came back not with a car, but we came back satisfied. One time I was going to get a used car, check one out, and Mr. Stockman couldn't go, but he said, do this. Get in the car, take it for a test drive, run it real hard. Run as hard as you can, hit the brakes good, run it hard, and then as soon as you get back to the lot, pop the hood and look real fast and see if there's smoke coming from anything. So I remember doing that and popped the hood and there was the smoke. Whew, that saved me from buying a car that I would have not getting many miles out of. I remember the guy after I said, yeah, I'm not going to take this. He said, it was on Cicero. He said, if you don't mind, why you're not going to buy this car? I said, well, because I drove it and I looked at the hood and smoke was coming out of it. He said, thank you. I'm sure after I left, he went there, put some little thing on that little thing that was smoking and tried to get the next guy to come and buy that car. And maybe it wouldn't smoke for a week later. Used cars are tricky. New cars are nice. But in Christ, we have new life, the Bible says. That's nicer than any new car. It's nicer than a new house, the new clothes, new shoes. A new car. New is nice. New is fresh. New is unstained, untainted. God says he makes all who are in Christ new creatures. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Literally a new creation. What a great opportunity we have. Being a new creation. And the Bible gives some specific areas that are new in the life of a Christian. And I'd like to look at five of them this evening. So if we would turn to Psalm chapter 40 in verse 2. Psalm chapter 40 in verse 2. The first area that the Lord makes new or gives to us new is a new stability. When we are in Christ, a new creation, a new creature in Christ, we have a new stability. Psalm chapter 40, verse 2 says this, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Our feet are on a rock, and our goings, our way, our path is established. It's new. It wasn't that way before. But now it's new, a new stability for life. Secondly is in verse 3, and in addition to this new stability, we also have a new song. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Our music mimics our soul's condition, a new creature, a new creation. We'll have the new music that matches that soul's condition. And that is new gift from God that comes along with the new life that he's given to us. Thirdly, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20. Let's look there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. We have also a new home. No longer do we look at this world as our home, but we're able to look at and look forward to a home in heaven. So here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, the Bible says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." We have a new home through our salvation in Christ. Fourthly, let's look at Psalm chapter 119, verse 63. We also have new friends. The Lord, as a part of this new life, will direct us to, and our desire will be toward, new friends. Psalm 119, 63. Here, the psalmist says, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee and that keep thy precepts." New friends. And then lastly, let's look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26. Another thing that's new in the life of a Christian. When we become a new creature, we have a new vocabulary. Proverbs 15, 26. The Bible says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words." We have new stability as a part of our new life. We have new music that matches our soul's condition. We have a new home. We're really not considering this world our home anymore. We have new friends. Companions are those that fear the Lord. We also have new vocabulary. Literally, our words are different when we have new life in Christ. They're just not the same words as they used to be. There's only one alternative to this new life. And this is what the devil would have us deceived into spending our time living our life. And that is the old way. The way from which we were delivered. It is this way that Satan and his deceit would have us waste our life. So let's consider the things that the Lord has given to us that are new. Let's consider some warnings about how the devil would have us go back to the opposite. Number one, Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. Let's look back there. Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. We started here, but there was an old condition that we were in with regard to our stability. The old stability, what was it like? Before we had life in Christ, if we live apart from our life in Christ, what type of stability in life can we expect? What can we expect out of this life with regard to the stability that it brings? Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. "He brought me up out of where I was at," the old place, which was what? A horrible pit. A horrible pit. A pit. This pit is referred to as referring to a hole with an opening just at the top, often used as a prison. Prisoners may be lowered into this pit. The only opening is above. And they would stay in that pit. Maybe their food would be thrown down to them, but they weren't getting out of it. The only opening is above. What would that be like after a week or a couple months or a year? Horrible would be a good way to describe that, wouldn't it? And that's exactly the way we were when Jesus found us and gave us new life. We were left with the worst of ourselves in that horrible pit. Obviously, miry clay would be a result of that as well. Miry is maybe a nicer word than what it actually is going to be if we actually saw something like that, or if we literally spent time in a place like that. Miry clay. Trapped. Quicksand. There's stories of people getting trapped in quicksand. They couldn't get out. In fact, the more that they personally tried to get out, the more that sand just suctioned around their legs and then their chest and then their arms. In 1964, there was a couple people hiking through the swamps in southern Florida, Lake Okeechobee, and one man fell into quicksand. And before he knew it, he was up to his knees and very quickly was trying to get his backpack off to free himself of that weight. His friend knew enough to not get in that quicksand with him, but to go try to find a stick and hold it out to him so he could pull him out while that friend kept his feet on solid ground. And while his friend was going back to get that stick or trying to find something to reach down, that quicksand pulled that man down further and further until he was up to his neck. And when the stick finally came, his arms were trapped. He'd been moving and trying to do it on his own. His arms were trapped, and he couldn't even lift his arm up to get that stick and get pulled out from his soon-to-be death, horrible death. Miry clay, we were sinking in that miry clay. The more we tried to get out, the more it trapped us. And in our Christian life, we turn back to the old. We turn back to the old way. We'll find a loss of stability that we have in our new life in Christ. We try to get out of that. The more we try to get out, the more we trap ourselves. No, we can't do that. We need the Lord, who is all powerful, to reach down and pick us back out. We have stability. Our feet aren't on quicksand, they're on a rock. Guess who that rock is? The New Testament tells us that rock is Christ. That's stability. Though all around is sinking sand, right? The Bible, Christ, our stability. We have this warning about the horrible pit, the miry clay. We came out of that. Came out of that. Don't go back to it. Don't go back to that. Number two, the Lord puts a new song in our heart, but the devil wants us to go back to the old music. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13. The devil would have us go back. He would have our soul long for lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and along with that always comes the devil's music. In Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 13, we have a picture here into the Garden of Eden. And we have here a description of Lucifer before the fall. And he was beautiful. We see his covering, but we also see at the end of verse 13, this phrase, the workmanship of thy tabrets, that's a word for drums, and of thy pipes, musical instruments, was created in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Comparing this with other passages, we realize this indeed is Lucifer, who found iniquity is found in his heart, and he was cast out of heaven, becoming Satan. But when he was cast out of heaven, believe me, his musical skill did not stay in heaven. It went right with him, only now it was perverted. And if that's hard to believe, just ask anybody who produces the world's music. They'll be glad to tell you. They don't hide it. Who they worship and who they serve and who helps them write their music. The old music. It's an alternative to the new song that the Lord puts in our heart when he makes us a new creature. Being a new creature, having new life, comes that new song, that song of praise and worship and honor and glory to God from our spirit. The old music's there, though. There it is. And it has a source. And that source is Satan. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. We saw that along with our new life comes a new home. But oh, how the devil will want us to make this world our home. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Don't get deceived and start living like this world is really your home. This world is in a steady state of decay. And the moths, the rust, the thieves, whatever value we put on things in this world, they're going to be gone. They're not going to last. We're not taking that to heaven with us. And yet the devil tries to paint pretty pictures about the things of this world and gets unbelievers, but also gets some Christians looking back toward that old home and beginning to live days and weeks and months in an effort to try to be comfortable in this old home. This old home is this world, but it is soon going to be gone. And the Lord has warned you and I about that. He's warned us this world is not going to last. This world will never satisfy. Don't go back to the old life thinking that this world is our home. 2 Samuel chapter 13. We saw that the Lord in the new life gives us new friends. But sometimes the old friends are still hanging around. They may be nearby. They may be among us. They may be near you. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 3 talks about a friend and of a guy named Amnon. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. Jonadab was a very subtle man. And this story tells us how this friend assisted Amnon to sneak and to commit horrible sin. And he was called a friend. And the Lord in a new life, in our new life, as we're living our new life, Jonadabs are not our friend. They're not our friend. They may be friendly. They may be good at deceit. They may try to help you do something that you think is going to be fun. They might try to help you get away with something. But don't be deceived. A Jonadab is not your friend if he's trying to get you to do wrong. We were at a house recently, on Saturday, and there's a good man. He's been to church on and off for many years. His kids come fairly faithfully. They came for many years with the O'Hares before they moved to LaPorte. And he's a man who loves his kids, and he's been here quite a few times. He'll come on special days. And few weeks back, he said, "You know what? Enough of this coming some. I need to come. I need to be in the Sunday school class. I need help. I want to get rid of these last few things that are pulling me away from the Lord." He mentioned a couple things, and then he ended with, he said, I've gotten away from most of the bad people in my life. There's just a couple more. There's just a couple more. I need to make the final break with, because if I don't, it's going to affect my four kids, and I want them to do what's right." And he came one week, and then he came the next week, and he came the next week, and we knocked on his door the next week, and there were some people in there that I thought, I bet that's the friends he's talking about. And what he's finding out right now is, yep, there might just be a couple more friends that he needs to say, you know what, this is not a part of the new life. But those are going to be the hardest ones for him to finally say no to. They're going to be the ones that are closest to him. And maybe the ones that help him financially. Or if he gets in trouble, they'll be there to help him. But they're not the right influence. They're a bad influence. And so, right now, like many, it's his choice. What's he going to do? Now, if he breaks, that might be hard right now. But where do you think he and those four kids could be if he does not? Where do you think he and those four kids will be? Amnon had this friend. And Amnon came along and said, "Hey, I'll help you out with this little plan that you have." That's not a friend. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 7. Genesis 19, verse 7. We've got to watch out if we go back to the old stability and forget about our new home. And pretty soon we'll find ourselves around the old friends. This is Lot, and this is Lot in Sodom. Sodom's about to be destroyed. And Lot goes out and has to talk to perverts. In verse 4, Lot has to go talk to a group of perverts. In verse 7, he addresses them. I pray you, brethren. Luke has to talk. There are Lot's talking to perverts. He forgot his new home when he looked and saw Sodom of this world. And then he got closer to Sodom and further away from his real home, and he vexed his righteous soul by doing that, but he still did it. And in a conversation with one of the most wicked accounts in all of Scripture, perverted men, he says, "I pray you, brethren, we better not return to the old friends." The Lord says in Psalm 119:63, "I'm a companion of them that fear thy name." Keep those friends as your companions. And then there's the old vocabulary. Matthew 26:69. Let's look there. The Lord, in a new life, gives us new words. We speak differently. We use different words. We want to speak different words. But that old vocabulary is around the corner. At least it was here for Peter. Matthew 26:69. Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him, saying, "Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee." And he denied before them all, saying, "I don't know what thou sayest." And when he was gone out in the porch, another maid saw him and said, "This fellow is with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, saying, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them. Thy speech bewrayeth thee." Verse 74, then began he. Now, before we read the rest, then began he, the walk on the water. This is the he that walked on the water. This is the he that sent out and saw many miracles done. This is that he. Verse 74, then began he to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man." And verse 75, then Peter remembered the word of Jesus which said unto him. Another passage says, Jesus turned and looked at Peter when those old words came from his mouth. Where did those words come from? Where did those words come from? I remember asking someone that one time that shouldn't have been using those words. Where do those words come from? In Christ, we have new life. That new life gives us new words, a whole new way of speaking, a whole new vocabulary. Yet here Peter was speaking the words that he used to speak when he was in the fishing boat, before he was saved, before Jesus called him to follow him. He went back to those old words. His testimony was shattered among these people when the old words came back out. And really, it was from his heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Where did those words come from? The same place all words come from. right from our heart. So, what if the new life has grown old? What do we do? What is the solution? There's a great word in Scripture that's really a word of mercy and grace, and it's hard to even explain how that this word and this truth could really be done other than God's goodness to all of us. And that word is not the word new or the word old, but the word renew. To renew. God can renew us. So, I won't have you turn to all these. I'll just briefly read the passage and give you what it says. In Psalm 51:10, the Bible says we can renew a right spirit in our hearts. Our spirit that was new, that has grown cold or old, can be renewed. And Psalm 51 is King David praying to the Lord that he would renew. Make that cold, sinful spirit new again. Isaiah 40:31 speaks of renewed strength. Well, I'm weak. I'm just going to fail again. I'm just going to fail. No, you don't have to. You do not have to. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God's mercy, God's grace to us. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15, I do want to look at this passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Let's look here, and this is going to be the account of a king who had a prophet come to him. And this king and Israel were in bad shape. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa. And he said, hear ye me, Asa. The Lord is with you while you be with him, and if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without teaching priests, without the law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace. Well, surely not. Israel, the chosen of God, the called out of God, turned away from God, there's not going to be peace for that person. You've been given new life in Christ, yet you've turned away from that. Don't expect any peace. Verse 5, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, that's really the tribes of Israel. And verse 6, they fought against each other in civil wars. Verse 7, be ye strong, and your work shall be rewarded. Verse 8, Asa heard that this, the Spirit of the Lord could be renewed. And so here's what he did. He took courage, verse 8. He put away the idols. And in the middle of verse 8, near the end of verse 8, he says, he renewed the altar. He renewed the altar, the place of sacrifice. He'd forgotten, and Israel had forgotten about the place of surrender and sacrifice. And Asa renewed that. Well, because what does it take to continue on in the new life? It takes renewal. It takes getting back to that altar, the very foundational part of our Christian life. He renewed the altar. And then he goes on, and the Bible says in the end of verse 15, the Lord gave them rest. A renewed altar. Three more things the Bible speaks of that are renewed. Psalm 103:5 says our youth is renewed. 2 Corinthians 4:16, our inner man can be renewed. And Romans 12:2, our mind can be renewed. So, how to return to living in that new life? Renew. And secondly, 2 Corinthians 4:16, we'll close with this verse. We renew. But in 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Bible says this, the inward man is renewed day by day. Not just renewed, renewed day by day, daily, every single day. If you're young, whatever that means, you're saying, whew, that's a lot of renewal. Man, that's just going to be a lot of, I have to do it every single day. If you're not so young, you're probably saying, wow, I don't have many of those days left. I need to renew my spirit, my strength, my altar, my youth, my inner man, my mind, day by day, because I don't have many of those left. And really, if you're young, you don't either. The inner man is renewed when? Day by day. New life in Christ, abundant and free. What glories shine, what joys are mine, what wondrous blessings I see. My past, with its sin, the searching and strife, forever gone. There's a bright new dawn, for in Christ I have found new life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the mercy in saving us and giving us new life. Thank you for your mercy and grace in encouraging us and helping us and being beside us as we seek to renew our inner man and our strength and our altar day by day. Lord, we pray that you would be with maybe one here that needs to have new life. They've never known you as Savior. They've never come to know you. Call on your name as the Lord Jesus Christ and trust in you for their sins. I pray, Lord, that they might come this evening, come forward and, Lord, get that matter taken care of. Lord, I pray also for those of us that need renewed, whatever area it is, maybe it's a friends, maybe it's language, maybe it's our home and our direction, our purposes. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that you would work in hearts this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your compassion. Thank you for the new life that you've provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you stand at your seat with heads bowed and eyes closed.